Pioneer of the Pines. Your Texas Forest Service of A&M College presents a dramatization of an episode in the life of Dr. Charles Holmes Hertie, recognized as the discoverer of the use of southern pine in the manufacture of newsprint. We take you now to a place near Lufkin, Texas. It is the morning of May 27, 1939.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are assembled here at the site of the South's first commercial newsprint mill to witness the unveiling of a bronze plaque honoring Charles Holmes Hertie, whose experiments in the use of southern pine have made this mill possible. Dr. Hertie was born in the Piney Woods section of Georgia. His success in making newsprint from southern pine has created for the South a new industry. It was on a hot summer day in 1927, while sitting in his New York office, that Dr. Hertie conceived the idea of making newsprint from southern pine.
Oh, my, it's hot today. Yes, New York seems to be getting hotter every summer. Oh, you'd better take the rest of the afternoon off, Miss Miller.
There's a telephone, Dr. Hertie. Who will answer it? And there's another mail delivery.
Oh, it's all right. I'll be here. I'll sit and read that new bulletin which just came in. I have an appointment in town this evening anyway. Oh, I see there's a story in the bulletin on pine. Yeah, let's see. Pine trees are probably too resinous for consideration in the manufacture of white paper. Oh, Miss Miller, before you go, would you get me my file on resin and turpentine? It's in the old files. Whoever wrote this article hasn't heard that healthy pine trees have very little resin and turpentine. Well, maybe I should tell them.
I believe this is what you want.
Yes, let's see. Oh, here it is. Resin and turpentine are produced only when trees are wounded. Well, it might be well to recheck it now. That would mean a trip to the Piney Woods in Georgia. Oh, it'd be cool down there. Yes, it's a good idea. Think you could carry on for a few days?
Yes, and you'd better take a rest while you're there,
too. Well, now, I may be 60, but I'm not worn out. You'd better be on your way. I'll probably be out of the office for a few days. I'll leave an address where you can reach me in Georgia.
Come in.
Oh, good afternoon, Judge. I just thought I'd drop in and see how you are.
Doc, where did you come from? It's good to see you. I haven't seen you since that forest conservation meeting. Sit down, Doc.
It's so infernally stuffy in New York. I thought this would be a good time to get back to the Piney Woods. And then, too...
Yes, I knew it. You didn't come down just for a vacation. What's on your mind?
Well, I was reading something the other day, and it started me thinking. By the way, how are the pine trees growing out on your farm?
I have a stand which needs thinning. It costs money to thin woods, though, and the timber you cut out is too small for sawlogs.
Yes, that's just the problem. What can you do with trees too small for sawlogs?
They aren't much use down here. Of course, up north in the spruce country, they make newsprint from the small trees. But newsprint is white, and these pines have yellow wood.
Yes, that's just what I've been thinking about. I'm not so sure that a so-called yellow pine couldn't be used in the manufacture of newsprint. How about thinning your woods? Keep the sawdust from each tree separate and send it to me,
That sounds a bit fantastic, Doc. I suppose you're starting on a new experiment. That's a small wood lot that I have. Guess it won't break me to have it thin. I'll sell it for firewood.
It'll help me in my work, and if I'm successful, you won't have to sell your small trees for firewood. I'll be looking for the samples. I think I'll drive out to the Piney Woods. Care to come along? Gentlemen, I ask only a chance to test the southern pine in your paper-making machinery.
No, everybody knows that yellow pine won't bleach white enough for newsprint.
There's no yellow heartwood in young, healthy trees. Their wood is white. Maybe not as white as spruce, but white enough and cheaper.
Trees with all that gum are not fit for papermaking.
It takes 50 to 60 years for a Canadian spruce to grow to a size that a southern pine reaches in from 12 to 15 years. At the rate we're gobbling up newsprint, the available spruce will soon be cleaned off, not to speak of the $170 million it's costing annually to import this paper.
Why should we test the pine that grows so fast in the southern swamps? Suppose it works as you claim it will. Where would that put us with our money invested in spruce holding?
You've heard my story, Mr. Spence. What say you for the Castanho Mills, hmm?
All right. Bring a sample.
And so, Dr. Garvin, my first tiny experiment at the Castanho Mills was a success. Now I'm asking your chemical foundation for money for a laboratory.
If you can bleach that southern pine, you've discovered something that'll revolutionize the paper industry, Herdy. You can count on the Chemical Foundation for $50,000 for a laboratory if someone else will furnish that $20,000 annually for its operation. I'm wondering if you might not get the state of Georgia to help you.
Well, I think I'll drop down to Atlanta and have a talk with the boys in the legislature.
Hello, Doc. I see you're still around. Haven't got the money yet for that paper-making laboratory?
No, but I don't think I'll have to wait long, what with the depression hitting everyone. You know, even some of you legislators have wood lots that were, well, it could be making you money. Cutting firewood isn't very profitable. I've succeeded in bleaching the southern pine. It'll be necessary to make some further tests.
I'll have a talk with some of the men who have wood lots. You know, the people of this state could use some extra money. They can't get much more than survival on what they're going to get for cotton. You know, you've almost become a lobbyist on the subject.
Well, I'll appreciate any help you can give me. It'll mean more money for the people of the South and cheaper paper for everyone. I would help a lot if you could bring the matter up before the legislature ends. Thank you, gentlemen. I'm sure you won't be sorry.
Better get started right away, Doc. I could use some extra money. I have a right nice stand of pine waiting for you. And a lot of new ones coming on.
Here's another offer to help, Doc. You seem to sold everyone on making paper out of pine. This one from a Canadian paper mill, the Beaver Wood Fiber Company, Thurbole, Canada, it says.
Better write them that we'll be up the last of October. Yes, it looks as though we'll have our first big run yet in 1933.
How much pulp will it take, Doc?
Oh, I'd say not less than 25 tons of chemical and mechanical pulp together. It'll have to be mixed with three times that much water.
You mean we'll have to haul the water up to Canada, too?
Yes, the pulp will have to be kept under refrigeration to prevent spoiling.
What'll we do with the paper from this run?
I've promised the daily newspapers of Georgia the first paper for use in special editions on all Georgia pine newsprint. We'd better get our men together. We'll have to divide into two shifts and work day and night for the next few weeks to get that pulpwood ready. Suppose you see if you can get some extra help, hmm? I'll go talk with the men.
I'll just make out this bill of lading and we'll be ready to roll as soon as the fruit and vegetable express arrives. What do you want me to call that, what you put in those cars?
Pulp of wood.
Pulp? P-U-L-P of wood. All right. I understand you have 75 tons of water in it. Thought you might want to call it water. Here you are, Doc. Good luck. Here comes your train.
Come in.
Oh, I didn't know you were busy.
That's all right. Henry here just stopped in to tell me that the pulpwood came in. You know Mr. Zeman, our superintendent?
Mr. Zeman, how do you do?
Sorry to have to tell you this, but we've just had a rush order for paper from one of our best customers. And it looks as though we'll have to postpone the run for a few days. Let's see, this is Saturday. We ought to be finished by Tuesday. Suppose we set November 1st for the test run. You'll have time for any preliminary tests that you want to make.
Oh, that'll be fine.
I'll be ready when you are. Jim, is the stock chest full of pulp?
Yes, it's filled to the brim.
How about you, man? Has all the spruce pulp been washed out of that equipment?
Yes, all ready. Bring on the pine.
Are you ready, Dr. Hardy and Mr. Ball?
Dr. Hardy and I'll stand up on the balcony where we can watch the paper machine. You know, Doctor, I think I'm as excited about this test run as you.
It's hard to believe that at last a test run is being made under commercial conditions. I guess you know how much the success of this run will mean to the people of the South. Say, isn't that wire beginning to look milky?
Yes, and it's getting thicker. The vacuum gauge on the suction couch shows 13. At 15, the sheet will have the right thickness and ready to go.
Now the gauge is beginning to fall.
It looks as though the superintendent has stopped the machines. He told me he was not going to let the experiment begin until he was sure everything was ready. Maybe we ought to step down and see what the trouble is.
Yes, that was a long 15-minute wait. See, the wire's getting milky again.
The sheet's getting thicker. Looks as though it'll stick this time.
That goes into the second press.
It's holding. See it go through those press rolls?
It's on the way back to the stock chest. Now comes the real test to see if it has sufficient strength to stand the tension as it passes to the drying rolls.
Let's move down to the rolls where we can watch for the paper.
There comes the paper.
It's going on the reel. Here it is, pure white and smooth surface. We're going to lick it, Doctor.
So we have the story of Dr. Hardy's success in opening a new field in the newsprint industry. Today, May 27th, 1939, we're dedicating this plaque. In reality, we're dedicating the beginning of a new industry to the memory of Dr. Charles Hardy, a pioneer of the pines.
You have been listening to a dramatization of an episode in the life of Dr. Charles Holmes Hurty. Dr. Hurty did not live to see the newsprint industry flourish in the South that he loved, but his discoveries have since been put to good use. Dr. Hurty's successful newsprint run was made in 1933. In 1935, a mill making brown craft paper was started in Savannah, Georgia. Within 2 years, a dozen mills were being built in the South. It was in December 1938 that the necessary funds were raised for the first newsprint mill making white paper to be built. Lufkin, Texas was selected for the new industry's first unit because that area provided an abundance of timber, an adequate water supply, and a cheap fuel source of natural gas. The Lufkin Mill was dedicated on May 27, 1939, and made the first run of Southern Pine newsprint on January 17, 1940. A large pulp mill located near Houston, which had been operating since 1937, added a new unit soon after this and began production of a special machine-coated book paper and other high-grade paper stock from Texas timber. These two mills are helping supply the paper needs of the Southwest. Together, they represent an investment of more than $15 million. These two mills produce more than $14 million worth of pulp and paper products each year from Texas timber. A timber market is provided for timberland owners who wish to improve their woodlands by thinning out the poor, crooked, and diseased trees. Thousands of men are employed in the mills and in the woods, receiving millions of dollars in wages each year. A constant supply of timber can build a greater Texas. This transcription was presented by the Texas Forest Service of A&M College.